Let us all say amen. And want to say good afternoon to everyone. Want to thank you for choosing to be with us on this afternoon as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Want to thank all the brothers that have gone before me that have assisted in this worship service and offering prayer, leading communion, offering prayer, and singing to our great God in heaven. Those are songs of praise. And I want to thank the brother even for facilitating and the announcements on this afternoon. And I want to, again, thank you for being with us on this afternoon. I want to say for those that may be visiting with us, we never want to assume that only those that are Christians that are listening to the message. We always want to be mindful there may be someone in our listening audience that has not obeyed the Lord and become a Christian. And to you, I want to say a couple of foundational things in the Word of God. The first being from Jeremiah, Old Testament. And you can write these things down. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, where Jeremiah made the statement, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." So Jeremiah realized when it came to a man trying to walk spiritually, that is not in a man. A man has to be directed on how to walk spiritually. And then Jesus came along in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33 in what is called his Sermon on the Mount, a mountain, where Jesus identified the place to which man is to walk spiritually when he said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So the place that spiritual walk is to be, Jesus identified how to prioritize your walk, and that is to seek first the kingdom of God. And then Jesus in John chapter 3 and the verses number 3 shared how one can become a member and also be placed in that kingdom when he said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus identified to Nicodemus that a person must be born again spiritually in order to see the kingdom of God. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when the kingdom was established on earth, the Bible says in Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So all those that are saved are in the church. And if you want to be saved today and you're not a Christian, then you would have to be added to the church. It's my responsibility to share specifically how that process is done at the closure of my message. However, on this afternoon, we're speaking from the letter of James. Brother Brooks is thank him this morning for speaking again, chapter 4 from the book of Hebrews, and I will be speaking from the letter of James. And I'm looking at James chapter 2 on this afternoon. I just want to share for those that are listening with us, the epistle of James is a simple yet serious letter of Christian principles, the design of which was to enable the readers to resist the sins that are normal to them and how to deal with difficult social problems that existed. Some refer to it as the gospel of common sense. And you'll find as we look at this letter, those things that are common to us, those things that should be common in nature, those are the things that James talks about. And so, if we'll look at James chapter 1, 3 points from the previous lesson that were found in James chapter 1, James, 1 point found in verse number 3, James talks about the Christian's faith will be tested. James identified, you live as a Christian, your faith will be tested. Secondly, James says in verse number 12 of James chapter 1 that blessed is the person that handle their trials, those that are able to deal with their trials. James says that person shall be blessed. And then we find that James talks about or emphasizes to the Christian that in verse number 22, that we ought to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we talked this afternoon from the subject, but if ye have respect to persons, you or ye commit sin. James identifies that. And so James is talking about things that we experience in our regular walk of life, and James tries in some cases to encourage and to correct behavior of the Christian. As he says, it's called the gospel of common sense. So in James chapter 2 and the verses number 1, James says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Excuse me again. James talks about if you are one that is a Christian or Christianity, then don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to respect of persons. What is respect of person? I'm glad you asked. Respect of persons is to show regard for the outward circumstances of another and to display favoritism based on that person's rank, their wealth, their social position, or their worldly attainment or fame, celebrity status. So when we show favoritism to those individuals based on those things, James referred to that as respect of person. In other words, James is saying, don't try to be a Christian and be a hypocrite at the same time. This is condemned here in the scriptures. What is a hypocrite? That's a person who claims or pretends to have certain beliefs about what is right, but who behaves in a way that disagrees with those beliefs. You say that you are a Christian, however, you are being hypocritical because you are showing respect of person based on things that are worldly. And James says that ought not to be the case. But James then gives a situational reaction regarding respect to persons. Note what he says. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay or attractive clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or either sit here under my footstool. James is giving us that situational reaction. Someone comes in to the assembly, someone you may assume to be a Christian, and they're dressed real attractive and looking real nice, and you offer them one of the quote-unquote fine seats in the house. However, you have a person who is poor. And when we talk about poor in the text, we're talking about someone who is dependent on others for their very livelihood. In other words, they are not able to support themselves by themselves. And their clothing is, the word vile here means dirty clothing. And so you say to that person that has on the nice clothing, why don't you sit here? But to the person that in the dirty clothing, the vile clothing, as the scripture says, you tell him to stand. You don't even offer him a seat. You act and basically say, go stand over there. Now, I want you to understand that in the outside of God, both of these individuals are equal in the sight of God. They are human beings. But James says the person looking favored is asked to sit, while the man that is poor is told to stand. Then James says, are you not partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? The word partial here means to unfairly treat a person differently from another. Or when we're talking about social problems, that's discrimination. You know, back in the 60s, when Rosa Parks was told to stand while someone else was told to sit, that was discrimination at that time. And so we see that, as I'm saying in the letter, James also deals with social issues. One of the biggest issues in this country now that we are facing from last year to now is racial discrimination. How we are being partial because of race and because of political affiliation. James said, are you not being partial? And your thoughts, James said, are evil, or they're morally bad. Those are morally bad thoughts when we behave like that. Sometimes our treatment of people is based on what they may be able to do for us. Sometimes we do things for people with something in mind. That's selfish behavior. when you treat a person a certain way, wanting something from them, or asking something in return, James talks about how we can be partial in our interactions with one another. And so James says, verse 5, he says, hearken, or give special attention, my beloved brethren. He says, have not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Not only that, and they are heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him. James says to them, when it comes to those that are in the church, he says, God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich or high in faith. And so James says, James notes what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, and the verse is number 20. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 20. The Bible says concerning Jesus, the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And what Jesus was saying, the poor here has to do with those that are poor in spirit. Just like the man that was poor, that needed others to help him with in his livelihood, those that are poor in spirit know that they need Jesus to make it spiritually. So Jesus said, those people who recognize that they need the Lord and they seek the Lord, Jesus said, for yours is the kingdom. You're going to become a Christian. You're going to become a Christian. Why? Because you are those that Jesus said that God has chosen the poor. But we know that the choice that God makes is found in 2 Thessalonians. And the chapter is number 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the verse is number 13, how one is chosen by God. James talks about being chosen or selected. Notice what the Bible says, and I'll start at verse 13, where the Bible says, Paul said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. How did that happen, Paul? Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when one is called by the gospel, if you own the call this afternoon, the way that you become a Christian, the way that you receive salvation, you have to answer the gospel call and respond obediently to that. So what James was saying, that the poor are more likely to obey the gospel than those that are rich. However, to all that obey the gospel and live faithfully to the Lord, they have an eternal inheritance awaiting them after this physical life is over. And that's why James said, and are heirs, meaning the act of inheriting something. They are heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him. See, those that love him will be obedient to him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what James is saying is that it's more likely that those that are poor will obey the Lord than those that are rich. But God has chosen those that are poor to have faith that is rich. Faith that is rich, knowing that there's an inheritance. That Colossians chapter 3 and the verses number 24 shares with us in Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, when he said in Colossians 3:24, he says, knowing that of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So we need to be in service to the Lord. We need to be serving the Lord if we're going to make heaven our home. Just hearing the word of God is not enough. And that's why James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. But it's those that have that relationship. And note this, one must have a relationship with God the Father to inherit the eternal kingdom. That's what I shared in John chapter 3 and the verse number 3. One must be born again spiritually and have a spiritual father, which is God the Father, and Christ then becomes your eldest brother, as he was James' physical, biological brother. Christ becomes our spiritual eldest brother. When we are born into the family of God, we now have a relationship. Until a person is born again, there is no relationship with the Father. You have to be obedient to the gospel and the will of God. And so James then talks about, makes a comparison between those that are rich and those that are poor. James says, verse 6, but you have despised the poor. And he says, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? He says, James says, now, if you're not careful, you'll disrespect or dishonor the poor when it is the rich man that treats you unfairly. And it's the rich man that will take you to court, as James said. So again, understand, we talked about this also, that we talk about social problems in this country. Racism was born from oppression. First, in this country, there was a time when those were slaves and had masters, and you were oppressed. Then when you wanted freedom, then racism raised its ugly head now, because now they don't want you to raise up. They want to continue to treat you or to oppress you. And so laws had to be enacted in this country simply to give those that were being oppressed the right to vote, to have things more equality. And so we find James addresses that. You know, sometimes they say in court, a poor man can't get a break. You know, you go to court, and because you don't have proper representation, you are mistreated, asked to sign for time. I see this where I work in law enforcement, in the jail, where those that can't have proper representation or more higher level of representation are asked to sign for time and accept guilt when they may not, that may not be the case. But what James is saying is those that are higher that oppress those that are lower. James says, verse 7, do not they blaspheme, even those that are rich, the worthy name by which ye were called. James says to those readers then, he said, it's those that are rich that speak evil of the honorable name by which you are called. And that name that we are called in Acts chapter 11 and the verses number 26. Acts chapter 11 and the verse is number 26. What is the name that those who belong to God are called? I want you to know that God didn't allow them to use the name. As Brother Brooks has said when he covered Acts chapter 11, God didn't allow the name to be used until he had a congregation that was mixed between Jew and Gentile. You know, it would be like today that no one can use a name until you find a place where blacks and whites will worship together in one name. Until then, I'm not going to allow the name to be used. Notice in Acts 11:17, for as much then as God gave them being the Gentiles, the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus, what was I, Peter said, that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So you have in verse 20 where the Bible says he spake unto the Grecians preaching the Lord Jesus, and then you find also that not only to those that were in Antioch, those that were Grecians, also those that were Jews were also members of the Church of Christ in Antioch. And then after that, I think in verse 19, the Bible says, and Antioch, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. So you had a congregation in Antioch where there were Gentiles there, and then you had those that were Jews also. And the Bible says that some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So you have the Jews there. Then they preach to the Gentiles. And then after that, the Lord said, now I allow it to happen. Verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. That's Antioch of Syria. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The Lord didn't allow that name to be used from the scriptures until we find there was a congregation that assembled that were both Jew and Gentile. Then God allowed the name Christian to be used there first. That's a note that we ought to be mindful of. And then as I reach closure on this afternoon's message, the Bible says in verse number 8 and 9, James says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So James says that when it comes to the royal law, the law of the king, or the law of Christ, and there is a law of Christ in Galatians chapter 6 and verse is number 2, we have where the Bible records for us, Paul said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And part of the law of Christ is that we love our neighbor as thyself. James says, if you do this, you do well. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 39. So when we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. And so as I close, I want to say this to all of us. And I teach this where I work, when I train my staff, and I teach a staff that I work with on how to treat people. Everyone is worthy of being treated with dignity and respect. This is the royal law of love. Everyone is worthy of being treated with dignity and respect. Someone said, well, what is dignity? Dignity is that someone is worthy of respect. The fact that that person is a human being, talking about like the poor man, that person is worthy of respect. Well, then, what is respect? Respect is to be treated in an appropriate way. So in this case, to treat that person with dignity and respect would be to have offered that poor man the same seat that you offered the man that appeared to be rich in his with his gold ring and fine clothes. That's the law of God, that we treat a person with dignity and respect. And then James says, as my title is found in verse number 9, but if you have respect to persons, James wants you to know you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressor. James says, if you have respect to persons, that means to judge people on the basis of their outward circumstances rather than the condition of their heart, James says, you work sin and are guilty of the law as a transgressor, meaning to disobey the law of God, 1 John 3 and 4. It is sinful to show respect of person based on worldly considerations. But as I close, what is the biblical answer to the respecting a person? Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Our answer will come from the Lord. Peter gave it. Acts chapter 10, and the verse is number 34. The answer to respect a person, James says, or Peter says, the Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. God does not have a respect or show respect to person. James, Peter said, but in every nation, he that fears God or respects God and does righteousness, that person, Peter said, is accepted or is acceptable with God or with him. That's the answer to the issue of dealing with tensions in racial tensions, social problems. We can deal with it from the Word of God if all of us just abide by the Word of God, the law of God. This country will not be in the condition it is, and that's why James is so appropriate in his letter to Christians, that it can allow us to refine or reshape ourselves, regenerate ourselves to do those things that are written in the Word of God. And if you're not a Christian, I want to talk to you at this time. How does one become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the church? In Romans chapter 1, In Romans chapter 1, as I close, Romans chapter 1, you'll find in verse number 15 and 16, Paul said, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." The gospel. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," what? The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Paul said he was not ashamed of that which has the power to save a person from their sins. It is in the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? Three facts. You can make note, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the three facts is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, shed his blood on that cross. He was nailed to that cross, died on the cross. They took him down. They buried him in a tomb. And he rose again the third day. Well, to become a Christian, you must imitate what Christ did in Romans chapter 6. And the verse is number 1. Right now, I want you to know those that have not obeyed the gospel, you're in your sin. But notice the answer to that is given in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" The Bible says, God forbid, or God wouldn't allow. How shall we, Paul said, that are now? Notice we die to sin. Christ died for sin. We die to sin, live any longer therein. Then he tells us how we get rid of sin. He said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." So you have to hear the gospel. You have to believe the gospel. You have to repent of your sins or turn to Christ. You have to confess. That's found in Acts 8:37, what the eunuch said when he wanted to be baptized. He made the statement, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You make that statement, then we will baptize you into the death of Jesus Christ. And notice verse number 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by death into buried with him by baptism into death." Excuse me. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Once you are baptized into Christ, you become a new creature. You are now are a Christian. The word we said in Acts 11:26, you're now a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. You find that written in Romans 16, and the verse is number 16, where Paul says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." You would then be added to the church. If there's anyone who would like to respond, get with the person. They can get with us. We can make it happen. We can have you become a Christian. I thank you for your listening ear on this afternoon.